Friends, we are here doing our Conversations with Oscar Rewind. This is We Have Thoughts. I'm Joy.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Anna.
And this episode is brought to you by Hacksaw Ridge.
Yeah, exactly.
They sponsored us. We're getting money for this.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I fucking wish. I didn't even watch this movie, first of all. But we're doing our Conversations with Oscar Rewind. We're on Oscars of 2017, a big year. And today we're talking about Hacksaw Ridge. It was nominated for six nominations, including obviously Best Picture, Best Actor for Andrew Garfield, Best Director Mel Gibson, Best Sound Editing, Best Editing, and Best Sound Mixing. So really, this episode is going to be mostly Anna and Crystal. Personally, I don't really do war movies for personal reasons. But I like talking, so I'm going to hang around and see if I have any thoughts on what these two have to say.
You like talking? I would have never guessed.
Oh, God.
And then, of course, there's much to say about its director.
And Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield is great. It's the one redeeming quality that I know about this movie. And that's about it.
You know, next time this happens, because war movies are Oscar bait.
Yeah.
You should just read all of the Letterboxd reviews and then talk about those.
Okay, I'm going to do that while you two chat.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm really excited. Okay.
Okay, so...
Got it.
Okay. Crystal, do you remember when we saw this in theaters?
I do. Yes, I do. I don't remember liking it a lot or hating it. I just remember being like very middle of the road when I watched it.
Me too. Yeah, I don't. I went in not knowing what to expect, really.
Me either.
It was a war movie, but it's about this man, Desmond Doss, and he was a conscientious objector. So he went into the war as a medic with no weapons. So it was a bit different than your typical war movie.
I think what I liked about it was that because Desmond's faith is very personal to him, and it's very, you know, he's a good example of like lead by example, you know, like he just kind of lives his life and has his truth and he does his thing, but he's not pushing on anyone. He just lives his life in a certain way to where he's an example for everyone. And I think the movie does that too in a way. So I feel like that's probably the only good thing about it. Cause Andrew Garfield is fantastic. He looks like he should be in that time period. What was like the 50s or something?
World War II.
He looks like he could be in that time period. He has that face, the way he was dressed, like he just fits all of that attire. But I do, my first note is I'm really glad Joy isn't watching this because the opening scene is like war and it's like a lot.
Oh, like all details and explosions.
And I was like, ooh, this is not Joy. I'm glad you're not here. It was a lot. That first shot. It's a lot graphic than I remember, Anna. I don't remember it being this graphic before.
Same here. I actually did a lot of, not totally in-depth research, but I did a lot of research for this movie. So do we want to talk about the movie itself first and then like go into that? Or do you want to get some research?
We can do the movie itself and then go into depth. Yeah.
Just because I literally have like 6 pages of notes, so I want to know where to look.
Oh, I'm not so prepared. That's fine. I love
Researching is good.
I had a lot of, I won't say fun because it's terrible.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed the process of researching the history behind this film. But I really didn't take a lot of notes on the movie itself. But the first note I did take was that first scene with Vince Vaughn felt completely unnecessary.
Right? I thought so too.
With the mocking of the Indian and the naked man.
I think they were trying to establish, like, it's a war movie, but he's the comic relief. Like, that's what it felt like. It felt very put on.
Wait, Vince Vaughn is in this?
Yeah. Which I read that it was supposed to be Mel Gibson in that role, but Vince Vaughn instead got it or something. And I was like, that would have been completely weird and different. But yeah, Vince Vaughn is there to like, I guess, make it lighthearted or something. He's like his.
That sounds so wrong.
I mean, he's not the worst.
Make it lighthearted.
Yeah, I don't. It's
so. I don't know if that was a fail, writing wise, or a fail acting wise.
Maybe a little bit of both, really.
Directing wise.
Well,
probably directing.
I feel like. I wish I knew more about his character, like his actual, the real person that he was playing. But I don't. But that first scene where he walks in, to paint a little picture for you, Joy, he walks into the barracks. Andrew Garfield, Sergeant Doss just got there. And he walks into the barracks and one guy's completely naked doing pull-ups. Is one of them wearing the Indian headdress or?
I think so, yeah. And another one's playing with like a knife or something. He's like in his foot or whatever.
Yeah, they were playing around, goofing around. Someone ends up with a knife through the foot. And Vince Vaughn just kind of walks in there and starts doing the attention. And they all line up at attention. And he just starts yelling at them. And I mean, I understand it's the army. They're going to be berated. Like, that's common. But he makes fun of the guy who's naked and he makes fun of the guy with the Indian. There's an awful Indian joke. I didn't even write it down because I was like, I want no part of that. It just felt really out of place and unnecessary.
Yeah, I don't really know what they were trying to achieve with that.
Because tonally, it doesn't come up anywhere else.
No. I mean, the nicknames do later on, but that's literally it.
Right.
They could have established that another way. I don't even remember their nicknames, but I do remember them coming up later on, like when they're in the battlefield.
Right.
But yeah. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I love Andrew Garfield. I think he's probably my favorite part of this movie. I think he does a really good job. Your favorite actress, Teresa Palmer, is in this.
Joy? Oh my God. She's the most basic bitch. Teresa Palmer is one of two people who Hollywood needs to stop trying to make happen. Teresa Palmer and Eyebrows, whatever her name is.
Lily Collins.
Lily Eyebrows. Neither one of them has any acting talent whatsoever. They're both bland. Lily Collins just has eyebrows to rely on. And Teresa Palmer relies on nothing because she's empty.
I love that.
There was something weird about her makeup in this movie that made her look like gaunt almost. Like
that shade of brown that she had was not
good. Flattering. Either. And yeah. I think the eyebrows were matching and it just made her look so dowdy. Like she did not.
That's a great word. Yeah,
she dowdy. She did not look like the kind of girl you marry right before you go off.
No! And he was like in love with her and I was like, boy.
The prettiest girl he ever did see. And you're going, really?
That's his heart, I guess. Yikes.
Sure.
Has he got bad eyesight or something? I don't know.
He's a wacko. Honestly, we'll come back to his eyesight later.
Okay. I wrote a note in here that was like, oh, I want to go to the movies. I miss going to the movies. Not about the movie, but I just miss going to the movies.
I did this. What's the English language? I don't know. I watched this before the quarantine, but
okay.
I have a feeling the next one I watch, I'm definitely going to feel that. I've already been feeling that ache to go sit in a dark, cold theater and tune out the world. And I miss it.
It's a nice feeling.
I miss it.
Me too. Me too.
That time over. Okay. What happened to, like in life to Sam Worthington? He was like going to be a big deal and he like is not.
Yeah, he made some interesting choices. Same. He was gonna, because he did Avatar, and after Avatar, his career was
supposed to be like everything.
He did there for a while. He did like Man on the Ledge, and he did a few other really medium sized films. But then I think what got him was he started doing some Christian films.
Did the one about like the in cabin. The cabin, yeah. Like, Octavia Spencer's in that too, I think.
Yeah. She plays like God or something.
Of course.
Which I would be okay with that. She's great.
I would like to see it.
But I just think, I think Hollywood has a hard time. I don't know. Those movies don't tend to do well big picture wise. They do well with their target audience.
Yeah. And
he's been tied up with Avatar, I guess.
For like 10 years.
Damn. Well, I mean, they've been working on it for the last couple of years, right? Like,
yeah, he doesn't have the technology to complete it, and he's been working on technology to complete it. Which is crazy.
Which we know he couldn't have been on that much of a leash because Zoe Saldana was doing
Marvel. That's true.
Yeah.
So that is interesting.
I don't know. Maybe he likes being in that spot of like not super famous, but like known enough.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. Good for him. You know, I'm sure he's happy and healthy.
I'm sure he got a nice paycheck out of Avatar.
Yeah, he probably still is because they're gonna make a third one. In 30 years, probably, when James Cameron finishes it.
I think there's supposed to be 5, right?
5? I know that.
Avatar movies?
I thought it was 3.
The last ones come out were in our 90s. Watch.
I swore they said 5, like within the universe.
He tripping. I don't know.
Also, no one's asking for these. Like,
also, I'm going to save all my thoughts about Avatar because when we get there, it is a best picture.
It is.
Right? Is it? Am I tripping?
I would assume so.
Look it up, Joy.
Okay.
I think it is, and I'm saying all my thoughts, and I have a lot of them, about Avatar, because, anyways. All right. I feel like Teresa Palmer was channeling her best Rachel McAdams. Like, she was trying to be Rachel McAdams to me in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, and she just girlfriend. Wasn't.
You could tell she was trying with the face acting, yes. But there was just nothing there. And I feel like, I mean, I don't know much about her work. I don't have such an intense feeling as Joy does. But I really feel like her makeup in this movie did her such a disservice.
Yeah.
Such a disservice.
It's really noticeable in that scene where they go after the movies and he like almost gets hit by the car and she's like, oh my God. And he kisses her and she's like, why did you do that? Because she slaps him and like the way her face is shot and the lighting, she just looks...
She looks sick.
Yeah. Maybe she...
Does she have an illness in this movie?
No, I don't think so.
Is it bad acting?
Oh, my God.
Yes, it was nominated for Best Picture, Avatar. Okay.
All right, so Avatar, we will get there, because I got lots of... That's going to be like a whole notebook of thoughts.
During the court issue, which... Yeah. That part felt so much longer this time around. I remember him like going to basic training and then like immediately it was the war. I did not remember all of this. But the court system within the army and within the US Army, and I hate it. I respect the men and women who choose to serve our country. I think they're brave and honorable and amazing people. I hate the institution.
Yeah, they didn't create the system. They're sacrificing themselves, and the system is not.
Kills me. One of my favorite podcasts, it's called Crime Junkie. They did a whole episode about the murder of women on U.S. Camps, I don't know the terminology, base camps across, like, in Iraq and Iran or wherever they are, and how nothing is being done. They're being called suicides, even though they're obviously not. And the cover-ups, and, like, it makes me so angry. And I think I had just listened to that episode before I watched this.
Mm.
So, like, when they got to the court, I was already, like, foaming at the mouth, angry. So I wrote, love and appreciate you guys, hate the fucking institution.
Yeah, cosign. Yeah. I do like what he says, that he says, with the world so set on tearing itself apart, it seemed like such a bad thing to want to put it back together a little bit. And I like his mentality of like, no, I don't want to do this, you know, because they asked him like, why do you want to join the army if you're not going to fight? Like, you need to be able to pick up a gun, learn how to shoot, whatever. And he's like, I just want to help as a medic. The world's tearing itself apart. And I want to do my part to bring it back, even just a little bit. So I like his like ideal and like, but he's a brave fool to go out there with no weapon though. Damn. Like,
yeah.
Boy.
At least as a backup, you know.
I know. Like, he just refused to hold one. And I guess in that sense, if you look at it in that story, it's, you know, inspirational that he, like, stood his ground. And it's good if you believe in something that much that you're willing to, you know, whatever about it. But I guess that's... Say it again, I'm sorry.
No, you could continue.
No, I was on here. Go ahead.
Okay, I was gonna say, especially in this gun-loving country that we're in, like, for a man to stand up and be like, no, thanks. We've never seen that before. We don't understand.
Because he even says, like, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm just trying to live my life. He's like, I can't stay home and sit by while all of my friends go off to war. My brother goes off to war. I can't. I have to do something. So I'm going to do what I can within me to help this cause. And so I think that's his idea was a good one.
And it's a little bit dramatized for the movie, but the real story is that I believe his father and his uncle were getting into an argument and there was a gun involved. Oh, I'll get to that later. But there was an incident with a gun involved when he was very little. And after that, he was turned off to the whole idea of guns.
In the movie, because we'll tell Joy, but in the movie, his dad beats his mom. And so he is waving the gun around, threatening to kill her. And so he almost shot his dad and he got like scared. And he was like, oh, I'm never doing that again. So from then on, he was like, nope, nah, I'm not going to be him. I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be better. Which is a good, it's a good mentality to have.
Hugo Weaving played his father.
Yeah.
Hugo Weaving is, I think...
He's an intense actor. He is.
I think he's very underrated. Like, he's so great, but he's not the biggest name, which I think is a shame.
Yeah, he isn't, but he should be.
Yeah.
He was, like, acting circles around everybody those first couple scenes, for sure.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
He's great.
What else was I doing? Okay, so I did my research before watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Was definitely the wrong call. Because the research was very heavy. Basically, all I really knew about World War II was, like, the Nazi Germany aspect of it. I mean, I knew Japan came and bombed us in Pearl Harbor, and that's what got us officially into the war. But I don't really know much about the Pacific fight of it all.
Mm-hmm.
Pacific side of it. I really don't know much about the Italians either, other than Mussolini, the name. Doing the research for this and then watching it, I was just gutted, and it was so hard to watch. Post research.
So what did you find out?
I did some reading, like basic, just Wikipedia reading on the Battle of Okinawa, and that was the big battle that they're at in the movie, which Doss was at other battles before Okinawa, which they skip in the movie. It was an 82-day battle from April to June. There were 160,000 casualties.
Oof.
149,500, that's almost half of Okinawa population, they either died or they were officially missing or they died of suicide.
Oh my God.
And middle school aged boys were being used as frontline service. Army forced schools to make all boys volunteer. About 1,800 boys died, almost half of the young men. And then Japan enacted new laws allowing boys 15 and up and girls 17 and up to be drafted to the front lines. Sorry, I'm skimming through this now.
Okay.
Japan's army, they told the Okinawans to kill themselves before being a prisoner of war. I think I did this.
And that comes up in the movie later, like when he says he has the little bomb or whatever, and right before they get, they pretend to surrender, and then they're like, nah, and they throw a bomb.
Okay, I think that's all I wrote down for the battle part, but just knowing about the children and the use of them as frontline gutted me, and reading details about that, which I did not include for the sake of you two and our listeners.
Maybe you shouldn't have read it either.
yeah, it's just, it's terrible.
So I think like that battle, how much of the movie was that? Or was that the whole like ending or the like climax of the film?
It was definitely the climax of the film, yeah.
How about the last third?
Yeah. Because this whole thing is that he is, you know, helping people and he's trying to save everyone. And they kind of back down. But he stays up there and he is bringing, because there's like this huge ledge that they have to climb up to get to it. And so he is tying guys on the rope and like pulling them down, you know. Mm. And he keeps doing it. He doesn't stop. He goes all night and he's like rescuing even some of the Japanese that he brings to get treated. And he's helped me get one more. He keeps saying that. And like, I've seen that movie before, but like, just his like tenacity, his bravery, and him just saying like, God, please help me get one more. It made me cry because he's like, he's saving people's lives, you know? Because they go like, no, leave them, they're gone. Like, save the medicine for someone else, save this. He's like, no, I have to help them. This is what I'm here for, you know? And so to see him just like, then you see his hands with the rope and how they're like all burnt and stuff. And yeah, that's the big part of the movie is him saving everybody.
So that's like the first part of the battle. After he brings all those people down, they bring him down and they're like amazed at what he's doing. Yeah. And there's this shot, and I know you know what I'm talking about, Crystal, that one shot in the movie that I remember specifically from the theater gave us both goosebumps, and we both, oh my God, like we both had an audible reaction.
What happened?
He's been up on the battlefield for like 3 days now. He finally comes down and they pour a bucket of water over him. And as it's splashing down, you can see the blood, the blood in the dirt. And it's just this beautiful shot of the water falling and being washed clean.
Yeah.
It's
beautiful. Yeah, probably the best shot of the entire movie.
And it's probably one of my favorite shots of a film. Like, it's in my top whatever.
My top whatever.
I'm not going to sit here and try to think of what my top 10 or whatever.
Yeah, but my top favorite shots, that's way too, I can't, my brain hurts for that.
But no,
yeah,
it's
a really good shot. And like later on, so he is resting and they're supposed to go the next day back up to battle. And he had said before, he's like, you know, he's like a 7 day what something? What is his rule?
7 day of Adventist.
There you go. So he doesn't, his Sabbath day is like Saturday or whatever. So he's like, I can't go because Saturday is my day of prayer. And so, because they see his value now because he literally rescued all these people. They're like, okay, we'll wait for you to finish praying before we go up there. And so he's, you know, praying and then they're like waiting on him. And I think it's Sam Worthington because Sam Worthington's like his
leader,
I guess. Commander. I don't know the ranks of whoever. Because I think it's Sam Worthington and then Vince Vaughn, right?
I think so. Or they might be equal, but of different troops.
I honestly have no idea. Who knows? But he tells me, he says, most of these men don't believe in the same way you do, but they believe so much in how much you believe. So they're willing to wait for him and be there for him because they believe him and him. They believe in him, and I think that's really awesome.
So they go back up, and this I think is his most badass part. Yes, him bringing people down through the rope was fantastic, But they go back up and he gets shot. And they're trying to save him. And as they're saving him and they're walking him on the thing, he's stopping and saving other people. I love that I'm acting it out for you.
No, yeah, it's amazing what's happening. Like, and wow. I mean, it's like, this guy is real. Like, he's legit. And what's cool about the movie at the end, right before credits, is they have like the real guy. And he's like, he says the story to.
He's still alive?
No, I think he passed already, but. Because there's a scene with one of the guys that he's like, oh, I'm blind, but he just like watches his face, like, oh, I can see now. So it's an actual thing that happened to him. So it's a story he gave. Just to see like the real person. I think seeing the real person, I like that because it puts like the whole movie in perspective for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this was a real guy. He really did that. He really did save all these people. That's nuts.
So as far as like the awards it was nominated for, how do you see it?
That's a great question. I don't have the.
I didn't write that down for some reason. So I know it's picture, director, actor.
Actor, sound editing. It won best editing and best sound mixing. Now, I'm actually surprised it's even nominated for best picture because it doesn't have the best. Because, I mean, I haven't seen all war movies. But what I've seen, it doesn't have the best cinematography, doesn't have the best score, doesn't have the best script or really anything. The only good thing about it is Andrew Garfield, and even then, there's been better performances in war movies. But I think, honestly, what makes it good, I guess, is the true story of Desmond Doss. That story is nuts.
Yeah, it's more about him than...
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the only movies nominated that didn't get any kind of writing nomination.
Because there's really no script there. But
let's see. Yeah, because who else was nominated for actor that year?
Well, Casey Affleck won that year, and I would prefer if Andrew Garfield won if I had to pick.
100%, I would pick
because I believe it was.
I would also pick Andrew Garfield, and I didn't even watch the film.
Damn it. I thought I had it, but I guess I don't.
I feel like normally war movies get, or Oscar-baity war movies get nominated for editing and sound mixing. But, like, comparatively, we've seen, these last couple years that we watched the Oscars, like, we've seen other war films, and this doesn't even get there?
No, to me, no. It's not...
Because we've seen, like, Dunkirk in 1917.
And those
like,
are far better.
Yeah, this feels far really middle of the road, sound wise, movie wise, in general.
Yeah, in general. So Casey Affleck won. Then it was Andrew Garfield, Ryan Gosling for La La Land, Viggo Mortensen for Captain Fantastic, and Denzel Washington for Fences.
How the fuck did Denzel Washington not get this?
It should have been Denzel's. 100%.
There's no fucking way. Like, bitch, men be trash, but men are trash. Really good actors.
Because like, they are trash, they know how to lie. That's why.
That was Denzel's to lose.
Yeah. Yikes.
Because I do remember specifically seeing Brie Larson's disappointed face when she had to announce Casey Affleck.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Because of course there was a lot of drama that Casey Affleck's accusations and stuff. And I mean, this movie was not made by a good person, anyways. So.
So speaking of director, it was. The winner that year was Damien Chazelle for La La Land, but it was up against Arrival, Manchester by the Sea, and Moonlight.
Fuck that shit. All just won except for Mel Gibson. I am Damien Chazelle. Did he win that? He won, right?
He won Best Director, yeah.
Yeah, it should have been...
Barry Jenkins.
It should have been Barry. It should have been... Denis
Villeneuve. Yes.
It should have been. Those three could have tied, and I would have been like.
Yeah.
But Damien Chazelle got it, so there you go. And then it won. Hacksaw Ridge won film editing, and it was up against Arrival, Hell or High Water, La La Land, and Moonlight.
No.
Again.
You know what? One of my notes is. I cannot imagine having to plan out and film a war scene.
Yeah.
A battle scene. Like, the planning and the timing of it all, it seems like a fool's errand to try and do. Because there's 100 million different things happening all at once. And they all have to go perfectly.
Yeah, that's why those have, like, such giant budgets. Because, like, especially depending on what director, like, they want to do, like, real explosions.
And
and you know, if you're in a scene where you just did an explosion and there's dirt and shit on your face, like, you've got to go reset, redo hair, redo makeup, redo all these things. Like, it's a lot of work and it's a lot of financial.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
In the war scenes, you can tell that the budget was low. And I think you can tell.
Dang.
I think it's because a lot of people don't want to work with Mel Gibson, so he's got to find the people who want to work with him.
Yeah,
because don't blame him. About it, this movie was the South, right? The American South. But they filmed it in Australia. All of those actors are Australian except for Andrew Garfield, because Sam Worthington, Teresa Palmer, Hugo Weaving, and a couple of the other ones. He has to go where people will work with him, really.
Yeah.
Where people don't get news.
Or don't care. Anyways, okay, so it won sound mixing. It was up against, get this, Arrival.
No.
La La Land, Rogue One, and 13 Hours.
First of all, Rogue One, come on.
Arrival. That sound in that movie? Are you kidding me?
Impeccable.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck that shit.
That's what we say, pretty much for all these. So I don't think it should have won those two awards.
Anything.
I don't think it should have even been nominated. Only one I was okay with was Andrew Garfield. And he wasn't going to win anyway. But still, I think this shouldn't have been there.
No.
When it comes to the ones you've seen so far, it's definitely on the bottom for me.
Yeah.
Any other history notes? Any other things we should know about this film?
Yeah. Oh, you go, Crystal.
I don't have any history. I'm just going to give you my ranking of the ones I like so far.
Oh, we can wait till...
We'll all wait till the end.
Yeah, I have some notes about what happened to Sergeant Doss after the war. So he was a 2-time Bronze Star Medal recipient. So that's for heroic service achievements for one in Guam and one in the Philippines. He saved 75 men in Okinawa. He's the only objector to receive the Medal of Honor.
He's the only one still, right?
I believe so, because that was not too... But I believe so. He is still the only one. So before the war, he was a carpenter. But in Okinawa, he was shot in the arm. And he couldn't continue doing carpentry work after that. So in 1946, he was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And was treated for 5.5 years. He lost a lung, 5 ribs, and was considered 90% disabled.
Oh my God. Whoa.
He continued to receive treatment from the military, and an overdose of antibiotics rendered him 100% deaf in 1976. And he got a cochlear implant in 1988 to help him hear again.
Wow.
His legs were in Okinawa while he was being carried off. He made them stop and carry everyone else off before they got him. He was hit by a grenade and waited 5 hours for a stretcher. He dressed his own wounds while being carried. He crawled off, insisted others be helped first. He was shot by a sniper in his arm, and he made a makeshift splint with a rifle stock. And he called 300 feet to an aid station.
Wow.
Yeah. It kills me to know that after the war, all he did was suffer. He lived until March 23rd, 2006.
Wow. Wow, that's a long... How old was he when he died?
Well, he lived a long life.
He was born in 1919.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was like 90 years.
Wow.
Yeah,
he lived under 90.
And at one point was 90% disabled.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what? If you serve our country, thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice. So we can do stupid things like a podcast. in our apartment. I know it's stupid, but like, that's just, I mean, I don't.
And I found the note about the incident. So he, Doss said a fight between his dad and uncle with a gun involved is what initially sparked this moment. His mom got in the middle and told Doss to go hide the gun on the farm. And that was when he knew he never wanted to touch a gun again.
Yeah. I get it.
Insane. So I think now's the time we move on to the son of a bitch who directed this movie.
All right, it's roasting time. I turned on the oven. I'm ready to roast.
Joy heads into the chat.
Joy, yeah, I'm here. I'm here, bitch. Okay, Mel Gibson. Fuck you, first of all. Garbage.
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 G-A-R-B-I-T-C-H. Garbage.
so there's, it's, it has something to do with Mel Gibson, but kind of no. So I watched BoJack Horseman, and there's a whole season where they focus on, like, this really bad guy in Hollywood who's, like, doing terrible things and like leaves like an awful voicemail and says bad things about people and uses slurs and whatever. And then he gets like forgiven because he does like a funny comedy or whatever. And I was like, they're literally, this is Mel Gibson's story, because he did that stupid ass movie with Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg where he played Mark Wahlberg's dad. I don't know what it was about. It was about some bad dad parenting or something, which I mean, he's good at that. And I was like, we as a whole need to stop like giving easy passes to people like this just because they've done good work in the past, or maybe somewhere in their pinky they have some talent. Like, you know, you can't keep like absolving these people of their crimes because they've hurt so many people and they've yet to like genuinely make up for it.
Yeah, this guy is the king of the backpedal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so in my research on him, I learned that he is I'm going to fuck this word up, so forgive me.
Conscientious objector, right?
No, I wish. He's a set of vaccinist.
What?
It's a
chat so I can see what it is.
It's a branch of the Catholic Church.
Oh.
So at one point in the history of the Catholic Church, there was a moment where he's a staunch believer that there is no salvation for those outside of the Catholic Church. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one who comes through the Father except through me. So the only way through salvation is through Jesus Christ, which is to receive the Eucharist at Mass in a Catholic church. But also there was this moment with the popes. They were choosing a new pope, and there was a sect of people who believed that it should have been this person was the rightful person, but the other person was selected. So they kind of have their own branch where they think the popes since then, and I believe this was like in the, I want to say 60s or 80s, and I know that's like a 20-year difference.
back in the day.
I didn't write that down. So they believe that all the popes in the Catholic Church since then are wrong. And this is when the church started to become more modern. So I think it was the 80s when they started kind of relaxing some of the rules and being more lenient towards modern world. So he was born with a stick up his ass.
The moral of that story right there. Woo!
Yeah.
Some people just don't grow and evolve and learn from their mistakes. That some people don't even think they've made mistakes, which is the problem.
That's terrible.
They're like, oh, I'm right and everybody else is wrong.
Yikes. Oh my god,
that holier than thou shit.
But yeah, he's made multiple derogatory comments about
everyone,
the LGBTQ community, and then in 91 he said something really terrible, and then in 97 he joins the filmmakers, lesbian and gay filmmakers, for a seminar, and he apologized. And this was said so that he could make the movie. I wrote down the wrong movie. Anyway, he did it. Oh, Conspiracy Theory. He did it basically so that he could make the movie Conspiracy Theory, because no one wanted to work with him after what he'd said. So we walked that back and was like, oh, look, I'm a fan of you guys. Let me make my movie.
That's dumb.
And it's just kept repeating itself.
And literally, up until now, it's the same shit. The Oscars should have never allowed him back in. They should have never nominated him. Because by nominating someone, you're basically saying, everything's fine. This is fine. This person is okay. We're chill with them. So you should be too. And everything he's done before doesn't matter. Even if he didn't actually apologize. Even if he hasn't done anything to correct it.
I'm tired of white guys getting a free pass. Like, I'm so tired of it. I'm so over it.
He has been known to yell anti-Semitic slurs.
Oh, yeah, that was the big one. Yeah. That was the big one. I remember hearing about everywhere. When I was younger. That was everywhere. After all of these, he should not be getting any sort of work. There's a reason why nobody wants to work with him, because he's gross. He's a bad guy.
And then after being quiet for a number of years, in July of 2010, he told his girlfriend that if she were to be raped by a black man, but that is not the term he used, it would be her fault. And she filed a domestic violence-related restraining order protecting her and their daughter, because he got drunk and would go on these rages.
His children, those poor children.
Yeah. It's like, I remember hearing about, I think it was the voicemail. Was it Alec Baldwin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he left his daughter, like, that crazy voicemail.
Yeah, that was terrible.
The fact that people still like Alec Baldwin after that, and fact that people still like Mel Gibson after this, like.
And it's people that we like that still like Alec Baldwin, like Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and all of those SNL people still laud him like he's this great person. That blows my mind. But Mel Gibson has been diagnosed with manic depressive disorder. So there is an underlying cause, but that is on him to treat and maintain.
Yeah.
And not be such a racist, sexist, chauvinistic pig asshole.
Yeah. You can be depressed and be none of those things.
Shout out.
So.
My name is Anna. I'm depressed and I am none of those things.
Same.
Cosign all of this.
Welcome to the meeting.
The case in point. Case in point being, fuck you, Mel Gibson. Fuck you.
Fuck you, Mel Gibson.
That concludes Joy's TED Talk.
All right. Time to cancel more men. Woo!
What's your favorite pastor?
Who's next on the list?
Ooh, I don't know. Let's see what movie. So ranking this movie.
So ranking, okay. So the ones that we've seen so far. So definitely this is the bottom. I would have to go with Arrival, Fences, Hacksaw Ridge.
Same.
I think that's universal for everyone
here. I haven't seen this one, but it's the top of my list.
No.
Just kidding. No.
You're not missing anything. Like, you saw the 1917, what was the other one?
Dunkirk,
and they're far superior, so. And you wanted to see that other movie for some reason, but you're like, oh, it's a war movie? Never mind.
I didn't know it was a war movie.
What movie was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, Apocalypse Now or whatever?
Okay, so I wanted to watch Apocalypse Now, and I was telling Crystal this because it's, like, on every cinephile's, like, list of, like, one of the best movies ever. I thought it was, like, a futuristic sci-fi movie. I literally knew nothing about Apocalypse Now. And then I looked it up on Letterboxd and I was like, oh, it's a war movie.
It's about
war. Well, I guess I'll never see it.
No, I thought the same thing for a long time. I thought it was a futuristic end of the world type thing, which I would have avoided anyway, because end of the world scares the shit out of me. But yeah, it's definitely, there's that, all I know is that one image of Martin Sheen, like.
Yeah, and the war paint or whatever. Yeah.
I don't even know that. Wow, I know nothing.
Well, you see, like, it's all dark and dark green and black, and you just see his eyes. They're just, that's what you see.
I guess I'll just Wikipedia it then.
No, just read all the Letterboxd reviews.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That. Oh, the Letterboxd reviews for this movie are hilarious.
For Hacksaw Ridge?
By the way, followers, listeners, the two of you, please follow us on Letterboxd because we love it.
Because we're hilarious.
It's ice cold.
See? Ice cold. a lot of, like, one stars.
I think I gave it 2 stars. I don't remember what I gave it, actually.
It's a very... interesting things here. Obviously, nobody, well, the majority of people do not like Mel Gibson.
Surprise!
This review is, war is bad, and so is this movie.
Yep.
This review is great. Only a total psychopath could have made this.
Oh my god.
Andrew Garfield is small, and war is bad.
Andrew Garfield is small. That's another thing too. Like Andrew Garfield, his build, he's a lanky person. He doesn't seem very strong, but he's carrying these guys like long distances. Like that's nuts.
And maybe he was Spider-Man for a little while.
Yeah, but Spider-Man is like that. His body type.
He's more like Spider-Man. Like
he's gotta be like gymnastic? Like he's gotta be the gymnastics.
And by carrying these men a long way.
He's what?
By carrying these men a long way, there's also like. Some cuts in there, I'm sure.
Well, yes, I know.
Carry things by.
It's like there's one point where he has Vince Vaughn on like a
stretcher,
a blanket or something, and he's like pulling the blanket behind him and he's yanking it. I'm thinking like, and then Vince Vaughn's like shooting as he's being pulled. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But anyways, so yeah, I'm gonna say I'm glad that's over.
I forgot I made this note at the beginning of this section of my notebook. Mm-hmm. I wrote down the highest grossing nominees.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
So where the highest one, I'm not going to say the name, grossed $169.3 million.
Is this adjusted for inflation?
No.
It was only 3 years ago.
No, I'm saying like overall.
Oh, overall.
Oh, this. Okay,
no, she's talking about this year. That particular year, 2017. Okay,
got it.
And the last one grossed $27 million. Where do you think in the ranking this one is? Is it higher? Lower?
Oh, I feel like it's a little bit higher.
Okay.
I'd say a little bit lower.
Because it's a war movie, and I feel like there's a niche for that, and it's
maybe
a,
in the middle. Then
it's maybe in the middle.
I'm gonna say in the middle.
You want to throw a number guess out there?
Oh God.
No. Okay, 80 million. Give me a number.
80 million.
Pick a number. No, you gotta pick a different one.
$81 million.
Yes. It's like The Price is Right.
The winner is Joy. This is the fourth highest grossing, and it grossed $67.2 million.
Oh, okay.
You're right. It does have the war niche, and it also has the Christian niche.
Yeah.
It's a very Christian film.
We contributed to that, by the way, Joy.
Yeah, because you guys went to go see it in the...
But only because we had to.
Yeah, I would not have seen this movie if I didn't have to.
Because this was either we only saw all of them except for Hell or High Water because of somebody.
Look, I'm going to watch it this year, damn.
We're all going to watch it this year.
She's watching it late, so it makes sense for her, I guess.
Whatever. Bitch.
So in the year of black excellence at the Oscars, this was a white-ass tale.
Write that down.
Ooh, title of the podcast. Title of the episode.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Anyways, yeah, so that's over.
That was fun.
I'm glad I'm never talking about that movie again.
And by fun, I mean I'm glad you two are here.
Well, you were here. You chimed in. Had your TED Talk.
That haven't you people ever heard of?
What? Oh! Again, I was late, so, you know.
But I'm not explaining that one. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts?
No, that's it. I'm good.
War is bad.
And so is this movie.
Thank you, Letterboxd.
Yeah, we love you.
Sponsor us.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram and on Letterboxd. I forgot all our names on there. But
talk us in real life.
Yeah.
My Letterboxd is attached to my Twitter, so you can follow
there. You can DM us questions.
DM us. I love talking, obviously. And so do these two, when it comes to movies, at least.
Yeah.
Because they don't talk to me, I'll block you. I'm just kidding.
She will.
She blocked me once.
I knew it.
Just once. All right. We'll be back with another episode next week.
Another episode. Yay. We're back in it. I love it. We're back in it.
Oscars.
Oscar.
Woo.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.